Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, did you have a good weekend? I'm hoping so. I find it interesting how we create a real connection to the weather, making it good or bad. But I will tell you that weather can't make things bad. And I know that the folks in the Midwest, Nebraska and so forth, are still reeling from weather and or the long-term effects of weather. So I'm hoping that you had a great weekend. Anyway, let me just kind of jump forward. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. This is the only show that actually talks about the tangible solutions of what we need to do to protect our Constitution and restore our constitutional republic. It's pretty simple, folks. It's not going to happen on its own. There's no setting on the Constitution. Okay, it's going to purge everything, kind of like your self-cleaning oven and some of those types of things. I know last Friday and last week I kind of breezed over a lot of stories that have kind of been lingering on out there, but there are some of these stories that I really wanted to provide some detail. I just didn't want to brush over like Eric Holder's MAGA comment. I mean, calling the Trump administration so corrupt. You got to be kidding me. That's there's an adage. It's called it's the pot calling the kettle black, and that is making a presumption that the Trump administration is ripe with corruption and the things that that the Obama administration was notorious for. I mean, notorious is the appropriate word because they were corrupt in every sense of the means. And I'm not even going to go through the Obama administration. Maybe this weekend or maybe this week or the next week or what have you. It's going to take me some time and it will take me weekend time to do all of the research to try to put everybody that Obama had either tried to nominate and had to withdraw their nominations because, oh, they were tax cheats. Oh, they had these problems, very significant problems at that. And I'm going, it is ironic how everybody has this, complete blackout of the reality or the truth, because there's just way too many people in the mainstream media that is still peddling and covering for the Obamas. And maybe they'll get tired of it. I would rather see the mainstream media just go away altogether. And I believe there's a demand for truth in journalism. The only way we're going to get there, folks, is if the states start asserting a standard. Maybe the only place where journalism can be free and sensationalized will be Washington, D.C., because the federal government is restricted from being able to put any constraints on the media, on journalism. However, that does not apply to the states. The Constitution does not demand or force the states to, leave the press unfettered. They can establish standards and they can actually start weighing whether a news organization is a propaganda organization or whether they're true journalists. So let's start putting standards to journalism, just like we do. We put standards to our building and contractors and so forth. We want our plumbers to be able to do certain things. We want our florists to be able to do certain things. And that's why there are tests and there are standards. And I'm not a fan of these things. I think the government florist, really, I can see plumbing. I can see electrical building and that type of stuff. But if a person is building something for themselves and they're willing to take the consequences, I mean, you can't sue yourself for building a shabby shack and it falling in on you and you becoming disabled the rest of your life because you were the victim of your own hand. That is just ludicrous. But we do need to have some level of standards when we have certain things being performed. And I don't want to just leave it with journalism. As a matter of fact, I believe lawmakers should have to pass fundamental tests of the Constitution. Why do we not require some level of competency for our politicians? I always thought that having tests and somebody said, hey, let's license them, let's certify them, let's make them go through some specific training and have to pass tests and everything else. You know, that's not a bad idea, but at a bare minimum, they need to be able to at least pass tests regarding the Constitution. So with that, let me kind of just dive forward, because predominantly this show is going to talk about Eric Holder, and we're going to get into some marketing and some news that kind of catch you up for the week and so forth. Not some of the older news, but some other news that I think kind of helps motivate people and going, you know what, things aren't getting any better. But before I get you or try to work on convincing you that things aren't really getting better, let me grovel a little bit. What does it take to get you involved? I mean, I've been giving you all of this information and all of these facts and empirical data regarding how our government is not our friend. They are working and working, and they're slowly moving us. You know, if it's kind of like herding cats, but they're even more efficient and more effective than that. They're herding lemmings, and we're about ready to jump off the cliff. And so the only hope we have is Republic Review. So what I would ask is that if there's any way you can get involved and contribute, don't wait. Quit hesitating. Get started. It's kind of like that exercise routine that you want to do. The faster you get started, the faster you reap the benefits of exercise. So with that, there's ways you can help. You can help directly financially with our GoFundMe, or you know what they call crowdfunding campaign on the GoFundMe page. It's Reclaiming the Republic. Or send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. You can also send me a note. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be setting up a phone line so that if you want to call and just leave a quick blurb, because that seems to be a very popular. On my local show, I actually had that when our station actually provided a comment line, you know, so that people could call in and comment. So what I'm going to try to do is set up a comment line that will just capture your recordings. And if you're lucky, you'll catch me. If not, if I'm out of office, you won't catch me. But anyway, but don't be surprised if I pick up the phone. And if I do, we will record the phone call. So just for quality assurance purposes, as you know. So anyway, so we'll be setting that up. So there's different ways you can help, though. And two other ways you can help is you can get involved with the Constitution Club by going to constitutionclub.ning.com and getting involved in their efforts in trying to repeal the 17th Amendment. Actually, not repeal it, have the states rescind it by backing out of the ratification. There's a complete article on this on reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you can get more information from theconstitutionclub.ning.com. Go there, join, get involved in your county, sign up in your county and your state so that you can kind of find and start working with other people that are like-minded, just like you, that are on and a part of the Constitution Club. Another way you can get involved is getting involved in the our first right, which is the attempt and effort in trying to ratify one of the amendments that was a part of the Bill of Rights. It never got ratified, and it's still out there. I don't know how many states. I think Aaron said 11, but they're working and hopefully going to get a few more states to actually ratify this. We need to get to 38. And so I know that some people think that we don't need to get to 38, but I think if you get to 38, you've done everything you've needed to actually consider that a constitutional amendment, and let's get it done. Both of these amendments, rescinding the 17th and the apportionment amendment, which is our first right, that's the amendment that they're trying to get ratified. It's an apportionment amendment. What we want to do is get both of these moving and passed, and or in a position where we actually rescind the 17th Amendment and pass this amendment, because both of these work together in draining the swamp. You got to understand there's two sides of the swamp because there's two sides to Congress. There's the people side and the state side. And so getting the states back in control of the Senate will help drain that side of the swamp, and getting our appropriate representation to 6,000 instead of only 400 oligarchy, then I think we will have the representation that would be better suited. Now, I'm telling you, and Keith will tell you this as well, that there is zero evidence that this will solve our problems. This will not stop out-of-control spending, and this concept that the federal government can do anything it thinks it wants to do, and it's constitutional, which is a crock of you-know-what. So, without the expletives, let me just jump forward real quick. And one way you can get involved is by tuning in. So let me thank you for tuning in today. I do appreciate it. And that's one way that you can get this involvement, is helping people understand that there is a solution-based radio program right here on Red State Talk Radio. So please get the word out, get other people to start receiving this message, because as people start to digest this, it actually has a huge effect. And so we want to maximize that effect as, you know, as we move forward, because as people start hearing about Republic Review and the concept of the stakeholders auditing and controlling and taking back their contract, that is a good thing. So as you can tell, I'm at a hard break. So when we come back, we'll get into the last few things so that I can dive into Eric Holder. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. So if you're waiting for that appearance by the unicorn, if you're waiting for the pot at the end of the rainbow, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, then I'll let you continue to wait. However, as I always do, I check through the news, and there is no sign that the federal government will disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So that leaves us to do it. We're going to have to do this. It's not going to be hard. It's not even going to require firing a shot. There is no doubt in my mind the good Lord knew exactly what we would need if we were going to preserve this Constitution. All we needed to do was realize what it possesses in its entirety and how to use it so that we can actually reclaim. And it's almost like that self-cleaning button once you realize what is within the Constitution. So let's move forward, shall we? And let's actually start looking at what we need to do together in getting this constitutional republic back on track. Now, I've got 2 points that I need to go back on. But before I do, let me talk about Red Pill Expo. Red Pill Expo will be coming up June 7th, 8th, and 9th in Hartford, Connecticut. You definitely want to get involved with this and you want to sign up so that you can, you know, be there and attend this. These are just great events. And having attended the last one, I want to hear your feedback if you make it to this, because there's no, I've not heard anybody say, wow, that, you know, that was a waste of my time. Nothing like that at all. So let me get the two go backs, because you know, time is quickly passing. It is April. That is not an April Fool's joke. It is April. And so you're just literally 3 months away, right? Or actually 2 months, May, June, boom, you're there 2 months away. So get online, figure out what the type of tickets you want to attend. I had friends that attended the MVP level tickets, and that was highly lauded. Everybody, you know, hey, how come you didn't come, GR? Well, I actually had to work, or I probably would have came. But everybody that I talked to said, oh, you should have came. So if you're wondering whether you should go or not, and whether you, because it's a long dinner and it is a great evening, when and some of the other things that they offer in the MVP package, if that's what they're calling it this year, it is awesome. I mean, you really get a chance to have conversations with people. I got outed at the party by somebody that knows me. But anywho, nevertheless, it was quickly brushed under the rug. And so if you missed it, then you missed it, right? Okay. Let me have a go back on this Pennsylvania thing. As you know, last week I reported that there was a state legislator who gave prayer and kind of read or spoke almost biblical verse of, you know, the great Messiah and the Savior of the world and so forth, and how everybody slammed her for, you know, for reading biblical type of verse as a part of her prayer. Here's the thing that they didn't tell you that comes out of this as we really start looking and examining the truth and reality, what happened here. And what happened after her prayer, a Islamic cleric or, you know, way leader, whatever, got up and read, had a prayer as well, and read verses out of the Quran in Arabic and spoke, you know, of Allah is great and Allah Akbar. And I am here to tell you, my friends, that that was okay. Jesus, not okay. Muhammad and Allah, okay. What we're seeing is a very bad transition. We cannot allow this to happen. And as a matter of fact, there was a meme on social media last night that a friend posted, and it showed 3 different countries, France, Pakistan, and Iran, or maybe Afghanistan. I think it was Pakistan, but nevertheless, whether it was Afghanistan or Pakistan, I mean, they're right next to each other. Iran was the other one, and France was the other one. And they showed a stark contrast to, you know, society 30 years after Islam's penetration. And I was going to use this term radical Islam, but this is not radical Islam. When you are really looking at when somebody is reading and somebody is citing the Quran or the Hadiths, then this is not radical Islam, my friends. What we're dealing with are fundamentalist Islamics. Now, there are people that, you know, yeah, we're Islam, but, you know, we're, you know, we don't hold tightly to all of that doctrine. I'm sorry. You either get rid of the doctrine or you go through and you fix it. But this opens the door towards a real academic argument. How do you fix this? How do you go down this path of an institution that came up out of the house that did not have the authority for writing scripture or prophesying or anything like that? Where did Muhammad get his authority? And so, I mean, this really becomes a good theological academic argument, because for thousands of years, Islam lived, and I don't want to say in the shadows, they lived side by side with Israel in the concept, and it wasn't Islam at that point in time. I don't know if it was Muslims or whatever. It was the family of Ishmael and the descendants of Ishmael and the tribe of Ishmael. And as it grew into the nation of Ishmael, the other son of Abraham, they lived side by side with Israel. And for a long time, they accepted the fact that Isaiah and the prophets of Israel were the true prophets of God, that they were not the lineage that was going to have any prophets. There were other, actually, if you understand Israel, that was the Levitical tribe. That was the tribe that was the only tribe that had the prophets. The other tribes did not. And so anyway, as I kind of tarry and move down this path, my whole point is that we're turning a page that is, I believe, very dangerous. And when you looked at this meme 30 years later, how women were subjugated and how women were actually considered a lower class citizen than even some animals and so forth. And so there's just some real terrible bestiality and just really some terrible things that are actually a part of the Quran and the Hadith that I'm going, you know, if everybody understood what is coming down this pike, they would stop it in a heartbeat. But why is it that and I'm telling you that the mainstream media understands this. They don't care because the ends justify the means. They need to destabilize America and cause this kind of a problem, but they want to do it very slowly because they just don't have enough of an infiltration here yet. They don't have enough components to be able, or combatants, if you want to call it that. And so anyway, let me kind of just move on, and I will dive into this this little bit on Eric Holder. Because as you look at him in the news recently, he's been talking about possibly running for president. We will rue the day. And as a matter of fact, his past must haunt him, because he has refused to answer the allegations and all the indications of corruption that occurred under his watch and by his hand in the Department of Justice. So a little background on him. His family comes from the West Indies of the Caribbean. Guess who else in America who has a notorious background in American politics also came from the West Indies of the Caribbean? Well, it was Mr. Hamilton himself. And Mr. Hamilton was a two-sided figure of history. On one side, he was promoting that we had a very tight, locked, and controlled contract, that the contract was what it said. The states had to say, you know, the states had to have say in what was going to be changed and so forth. And then we have the Hamilton after post ratification of the contract to say, oh, the federal government can do anything that it needs to. And he started relying heavily upon reinterpreting these lines that he actually helped define in the Federalist Papers and during the ratification debates, that yes, these are hard limits, that the federal government can only do what's enumerated and so forth. So which Hamilton are we to believe? And it's the same thing with which Holder is it we're supposed to believe? Let me give you a little more history, and then we'll get into which Holder is it we're supposed to believe. He lived in a predominantly black community, and that's really, you know, that I still think today that America is way too segregated, and that has more to do with politics and ideologies than it has to do with racism in America. But Holder was a beneficiary of a lot of, if you want to call them white policies or what have you, because he went to school with most primarily with white students as a part of a gifted education program. This has the smacks of Bill Clinton and Obama all over it as well. And we'll get back in with this concept of how these are correlated or how these are connected as soon as we get back from the break. So please stay tuned, and I'm going to tie this together for you. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so Holder is earmarked and or flagged as a gifted student and placed into predominantly white schools so that he can get a better education. Well, this kind of happened with Bill Clinton. He was identified as a gifted student as well. And Obama, well, now he wasn't identified as a gifted student, but he got into the communist train with Frank, his I think his mentor in Hawaii. And we do know that we have no knowledge other than he went to certain universities, but we have no knowledge of how he was able to get some of his scholarships, how he was able to actually have a paid gig at Chicago University for supposedly being like an adjunct or being on the staff there when all of the other staff in the law department at Chicago University didn't think that he should have been there. The fact of the matter is that this isn't the only, and it's just not these three. There are these globalists who come along, because Bill Clinton lived, you know, he was a bastard, right? He didn't have his father at home. He was living in a fatherless home. Obama, same way. Well, actually, Obama had, you know, not his father, but he had stepfathers. I think Clinton had the same. I don't know about Holder, but apparently there is this paradigm that you can start putting together that somebody that doesn't have that fatherly influence, who can be very impressioned by an organization that's coming in. And I honestly believe that there is a pack of kids every year that are being identified and groomed in these special education programs to say, you know, who knows, you may be America's next president. And as long as you do the dirty deeds and you move up, and speaking of doing dirty deeds, did I tell you we're going to be doing Bush tomorrow? We're going to be doing the tribute to Bush tomorrow. And so as long as you're willing to go through, you know, the membership dues and everything else, and, you know, have so that they've got their level of filth on you, then you, as long as you just don't buck the system, don't worry about it, because you will have your level of protection. Well, so anyway, Holder, you know, was very fortunate to be able to have this educational opportunity in America, which apparently, you know, was able to at least identify gifted people, but maybe he just thinks that everybody should, you know, have some type of advantages. But then again, what happens when everybody has a legal degree? What happens when everybody has degrees? Well, you don't have anybody to do the driving. You don't have anybody. In other words, we don't have any differentiators. We don't have people that are willing to settle for something, because there are people that are willing to settle for one type of career or one, you know, avenue of lifestyle, where other people, they just want more. They have insatiable desires to, you know, attain higher and higher standards of living and so forth. That's how we get billionaires. That's how we get people into these situations. Some of them are born into that, but some of them actually are driven. And so the fact of the matter is that Holder was the recipient of a great beneficiary type of program for his education. He went off to law and he got his law, and he actually went to some prestigious schools, and his parents were just middle class. So I didn't get into the details as to how he was funded. But, you know, with these types of programs, when you get into these gifted programs, then they really help you with your college and everything else. So there's no doubt in my mind, he had all sorts of assistance up till the point where he got his JD, his Juris degree. And what did he do right after that? Did he go and start practicing law? No. He actually went and became a public servant, not as an elected official, but working for the government in the public integrity section of the Department of Justice, supposedly fighting corruption and, you know, handling cases. And he did this for 12 years. And during this time, he was, I think, taking note as to how, you know, some people are getting away with corruption and how some people aren't. Later on, Reagan appointed Holder, towards the end of Reagan's tenure, he appointed Holder to a judge of the Superior Court of the District of Columbia. Now, I'm saying this because Reagan was huge in making sure that he was not biased in his appointments. He was quick to appoint, you know, blacks as well as women, as well as others. And so Reagan was not a biased, but he was a Republican. And, in, you know, maybe to his fault, he went and selected Holder, thinking, well, you know, here's somebody that's got promise. I don't think he really knew, or if he did, and somehow it was just given to him and he just kind of blessed it, okay, but somehow somebody was handling Holder in getting him past certain things, just like Bush and other people. But later on, He was appointed by Bill Clinton to the United States Attorney for the District of Columbia. So it was like he was the Attorney General for the seat of government. And subsequently, that set him up as the Deputy Attorney General for the Department of Justice, and literally set him up for Obama to select him as the Attorney General. I believe he learned along the way how to sidestep the law and get away with it because he was taking note and seeing how other people were doing it. Holder, as soon as he became the Attorney General of the Department of Justice for the federal government, he was quickly connected to a Fast and Furious run. And if everybody understands what happened, hundreds of people died in the walking of guns, illegal guns, and getting them into the hands of the Mexicans, or the cartels and so forth. And some of these guns came back into America, and I believe a couple of agents were killed, and all the facts, I don't have all the facts as far as everything with Fast and Furious, but what I do remember is that it came and there was documents that were pointing directly to Holder's involvement with Fast and Furious. And he refused to provide the documents requested, and he was held in contempt of Congress. Today, to this date, Holder has been the only cabinet member ever to be found in contempt of Congress. What does that mean? Is that a bad thing? Yeah, absolutely, it's a bad thing. However, what Holder did was he appointed his own, because within each of these departments, they have their own inspector general. It's kind of like the police's internal affairs, and they are supposed to go and inspect. And sometimes you have a good inspector general, but I'm telling you, I do not believe that this inspector general did anything other than wave a magic wand to absolve Holder from his sins and crimes and wrongdoing. He was known for race baiting along with Obama. They were both race baiters always. They quickly threw out the race card. And if you remember, he secretly, in other words, he broke the law to obtain phone records of the Associated Press reporters who were breaking stories on leaking and so forth, as well as Fox News reporter James Rosen. If everybody remembers that, that really started getting close to home, and they had to do something. And so that was towards the end of Holder's tenure, where they had to replace him with Loretta Lynch. Holder today actually is very proud and holds his chest out like a peacock or a turkey, how proud he is of being an activist, and that he views his job when he was at the Department of Justice as the top law enforcement official to change things. In other words, instead of going through the process of letting Congress create laws, which is how things are supposed to happen, he used Rules for Radicals and Alinsky activist measures in trying to change things. How did he do that? Well, you can't cover Holder and not do or cover the dealings and failures of his dealings, such as his activist position in the Trayvon Martin case. The Trayvon Martin case was definitely one that he injected and wanted to assume instant guilt. And because they were being called out and because the locals just didn't allow them to permeate and take over, the case went down the path that it did. But what they wanted was social justice. And social justice doesn't mean a just outcome. It means an outcome dictated and based upon the conditions and or towards a favorable measure for one particular group, i.e. the minorities, the blacks, or what have you. And so this wasn't an outlying case, because there was a case in Ferguson, I think you might remember this, and how he threw fuel on the fire there as well. the federal government tried to come in and override what the heck was going on in Ferguson and try to, you know, assume instant guilt. And that didn't turn out the way it wanted. And both times, it basically threw egg in his face. Well, I'm at a hard break, so we're going to kind of continue this. And when we come back, we'll kind of close this on Holder. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So almost every time, and not even almost, practically 100% of the time, Holder was on the wrong side when he decided to throw his hat into the ring. And the fact of the matter is, had he had his way, we would have been literally watching a wake of sad injustice being served throughout America. Holder is a man that sees the world through his own biases, and he is a dangerous man because he gets out and he speaks rhetoric that is, it's not necessarily counter to my narrative, it is counter to the actual facts. He sees things in a perspective as a black activist that wants to see not just justice, it's oppression. He doesn't acknowledge the facts that have led us here. There's no doubt in my mind, there are bad players everywhere. There are bad white racists, black racists, Hispanic racists, La Raza. There's bad in every race. The problem is that when people get into leadership, America seems to tolerate bad leaders coming from minorities. We cannot tolerate bad leaders from whites. And I'm going, why is that? Why can't we not tolerate any bad leaders and say, hey, take your biases elsewhere. It doesn't belong here. Because the mainstream media is building a narrative upon white guilt. And I'm going to talk about that because it's in the news, as we know, with Facebook, social media, and so forth, going after white nationalists and so forth. So let me just kind of move on. And if I didn't say so, I'm going to do my tribute to George H.W. Bush tomorrow. and let you know the real facts of how I see George Bush, his presidency, you know, leading up to his presidency and post his presidency. But for now, let me get into some motivational marketing so that I can, you know, kind of ask you, what's it going to take? Are we going to really continue to live this way? Are you going to allow these things to happen? So let's start off with Obamacare, right? That's one of those stories that hasn't gone away. It's still languishing out there, and it's going to continue to languish out there. The Justice Department is now endorsing a federal court that Obamacare is unconstitutional. Not for the right reasons, but for some technicalities. It is technically unconstitutional according to the Constitution and how it's defined. Period. There are there is no evidence to prove that the federal government has any delegated powers to it, that the states have never given them delegated powers. It's just been that they've been ramrodded over. So anyway, the Department of Justice no longer is going to pay with taxpayer money to defend Obamacare. So they've been having all of these lawsuits, spending millions of dollars in trying to defend Obamacare. Well, they're no longer going to do that. They're not defending it. They're just basically letting all the cases. And so they're going to save us some money. But is this really a change of position? I don't believe so. Because if you watched and listened to the news, Trump is declaring that the Republicans will be the party to deliver the greatest health care that ever was offered. And I'm going, are you paying attention, folks? Are you listening to what's going on? It's not about repeal and replace. They're not repealing and replacing. Or I should say, it's not about repealing. It's about replacing it because you can see exactly what the Democrats want with Medicare for All. They want to take us to a single-payer system. But the Republicans want to still usurp the power, and they want to give us a free market system that's heavily regulated by them. We need to have a free market for healthcare, period. The federal government doesn't belong in it, and I don't like the states belonging in it. And I would challenge every state, counties in every state, to rewrite your constitution to get your state government out of healthcare, especially in the management and beginning in between the patient and the doctor. So anyway, let me just kind of move on. In the news this weekend, Fox reported a poll that declared 55% of Americans are in support of Obamacare. Now, where did they poll these people? Where are these polls being taken? Well, I'm going to tell you that they just take a sampling of in New York, California, and they're probably doing all of this in dark blue states because the organizations that do this primarily thrive in the dark blue states where there's lots of people. How many of these polls were taken in Wyoming, in the Dakotas, in Nebraska, in Oklahoma? I'm telling you that these rolls are not representative, nor are they representative of our government. They're probably operating these polls in 12 of the dark blue states that are highly supportive of Obamacare, which is why it's only 55%, because that's still highly having government regulating and getting in between you and the doctor. You see, the information does not really give you a reality of our government and of our people and the perceptions of, let's just say, how we really perceive it. You got to understand that the way these polls are taken and reported, they play to a democracy and that all people are the same everywhere. This precisely is why the framers established a unique form of Republican government to ensure that the more populated states could not oppress the less populated states. So why are they reporting that 55% out of these populated states? Well, most people think it's a good thing. No. They have to go down and they have to poll all 50 states so that you can then determine how things are shaking out in every single state regarding Obamacare. then you can come up with some generalities, but you have to present the numbers that out of 35 states, it is less than 30% of the people think Obamacare is a good thing. However, in 12 states, and they're all the dark blue states, 55% of the people think that it is a, you know, Obamacare is a good thing. But these 12 states seem to have more than half the population. Well, of course, because they're on the coast, they're the places that are going bankrupt, they're the entitlements. It's not the place where people get jobs, work, and have to be productive to care for themselves. It's not the red states are states that do not subscribe to subjugation and indolence. But again, the framers gave us a constitutional republic. And so this whole thing plays out with the concept of eliminating the Electoral College as well. They want to move you into a democracy. And so what that means is that they want to get it to a majority plus one, 50% plus one. And so this actually plays out to amending the Constitution. They're going to be at a point very soon when they realize that it takes three-fourths of the states to amend the Constitution. That's unacceptable. We need, and you and I, and you need to start getting this word out, we have to stop accepting the polls' biases of democracy and demand the data be given in two contexts to the Republican form of government that we possess. Don't let them tell you the 55% of America is on board with Obamacare, when I know for a fact that it's probably well under 30% within Wyoming and a lot of these other states. My bet is that the majority of citizens in the majority of the states want to completely do away with socialism altogether. And the problem is that people realize that that's just a small percentage of the population. But it doesn't break down in population, my friends. It breaks down by states. Each state has a voice in this republic, and it is equal across the republic. In other words, California only gets one vote. And they get the same vote as Wyoming, as the Dakotas, as each state. One state, one vote. When it comes to things of the Constitution, when it comes to making those types of changes, but they want to get it so that they can convince you, oh, okay, we're democracy now. Do not surrender. You need to start driving this message to your state legislators that they need to start standing upon Republican principles and not democracy principles. We are fighting a very strong upstream current, and the prevailing current that is driving us downstream is democracy, progressivism, collectivism, and so forth, and subjugation. This is why Republic Review is really the only way. If we continue the status quo of trying to elect, because I'm telling you right now, if you look at what is going on in the state legislatures, even in Wyoming, that is a highly conservative, constitutional-loving state, the Dakotas, Minnesota, Montana, Idaho, Utah, the folks are livid about the rhinos that are running rampant. We have to go rhino hunting. It's that simple. In 2020, I need your help. It's time to start rallying the troops. It's time to start circling the wagons and then get ready to attack. We will take this country back. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the republic. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.